Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Death isn't very easy. Not necessarily for the one who has to endure it, but also for the loved ones that are still here. Death is sad. It tears apart the soul from the body. It tears apart a loved one from us. Death causes grief. It causes sorrow. It causes mourning. We see that in our Old Testament lesson and in our gospel lesson. But as a Christian, we do not mourn as those who have no hope. Because as a Christian, we mourn having hope in the day of the resurrection. In both our Old Testament lesson and our gospel lesson, we see a resurrection taking place right in our text. Last week I preached, and we heard the story about how Elijah was sent to a widow and her son. This woman had already endured the loss of her husband. She was preparing a last meal for her and her son to eat it and die. And yet God preserved them. By Elijah's word, God used Elijah to proclaim that the jar would not be empty. But now, something tragic has happened. For as the Lord preserved the flour and the oil, now the widow's son dies. The widow is stricken with grief. And it's understandable, isn't it? She'd already lost her husband, and now her only son had died. Imagine the sorrow. Imagine the pain. And so she cries out at Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and kill my son?" We lash out when we're sad, when we're angry, don't we? So often it's God that we lash out at. We get angry at him because we know that he is the author of life. But he also takes it away. He said to her, "Give me your son." He is moved by her tears, by her anguish. He takes the boy up into his own room and he cries out to God, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? Lord, we've just spent all of this time making sure that there would be enough food for the boy and his mother and for me, and now the boy is dead. Why?" And so he prays. He redirects his own anguish to the one who can actually help. "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Death is that separation of the soul from the body. We see that, don't we? When we gather for a funeral or shortly after a loved one has died, we see a body, and yet we know that the soul is no longer there. That separation, that tearing apart happens. It's not what God had intended. No, he breathed life into Adam, desiring eternal communion. And yet he gave him the rule, "Do not eat from this tree, for on that day you will die." Adam didn't listen, and instead he followed his own way, a way that would lead to death, not only for him, not only for his wife, not only for the murder of his son, but for you and for me as well. Yes, the soul separates from the body. Body and soul together, you worship him right here, right now. And body and soul together, you will worship him for all of eternity. The Lord hears his prayer. The soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." She already knew that, of course. She saw the miracle of the flour and the oil. But she was deeply grieved, and now she is filled with great joy. Her God is the God of the living and of the dead. The author of life can revive even from death. In our gospel lesson, we see another widow. Another widow who is deeply grieved at the loss of her only son. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd with the city was with her. A funeral procession is happening as Jesus comes into town. He sees this man being carried to his resting place, to the cemetery, to be buried. And he sees the boy's mother, overcome with grief. Jesus, too, knew that this was not how it was supposed to be. He despised death. He came to utterly wipe death off the map. And he sees the sorrow, he sees the mourning, and the Bible tells us he has compassion. He says to her, "Do not weep." And he grabs the coffin. You see, likely they had already gathered to have the proclamation. Much like we gather here in this sanctuary, and we watch as a body in a coffin is processed up to the front. But we gather not so that I can get up here and eulogize the person. No, we gather so that I can give you the sure and certain hope of the day of resurrection. That body in that coffin is not the end of the story. Yes, the soul is with Jesus, rejoicing, waiting for that day. But the reality of death stares right at us. And so we gather. We gather to hear the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus. We gather to hear that Jesus died for that person, body and soul, and that Jesus rose for that person, body and soul. I so wish I could do exactly what Jesus did on that day, where he grabs the open coffin and he says, "Arise." And what happens? The soul rejoins the body and the boy resurrects. I wish that I had the ability to do that. But I don't. And so we have to bring the coffin all the way up. And then we have to process back out of church and bring that coffin to the cemetery. A place of rest. A place where we can gather with our loved ones, knowing that that's not their final resting place. But it's an important one. It is a garden awaiting a day when those bodies with their souls will spring forth from the grave. And just as we set our cemetery up in the traditional manner with our hope that when those bodies raise up from the ground, they will face the east, the direction of the rising sun. That's absolutely our hope. When we bury them, we know that there will be a day that they will return. They will come back, and they will rejoice in Jesus. So yes, I wish I could stop the mourning here and then. I wish I had the authority to say, "Arise," and it would happen. But at the same time, I tell you, while I do not have that ability, I can still give you Jesus. Think about another widow, Mary. More than likely, her husband Joseph was dead by the time she had to watch her son die, her only son. She watched him endure great pains, great suffering, for 6 hours nailed to a cross, even though he had done nothing wrong, knowing that he was nailed there for her, for the sins of the world, and she had to watch him die. But much like the other widows in our lessons for today, she got to see her son living again. She got to see her risen son. But now her risen son is also her risen Savior, her risen Lord, her risen King, just as he is ours. Jesus has full authority over death. And we do not need to mourn like those who have no hope. No, it's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. But remember that this isn't the end. The body is not just trapped in some sort of circle of life. No, it is there, it is linear, and the day will come that Jesus Christ returns through those clouds, that the trumpets will sound, the dead will raise, and on that day there will be funerals stopped in their processions. Because on that day when the trumpets sound, guaranteed there will be some funeral somewhere in the world, and on that day, from that very coffin, that person will rise too. It will be incredible. It will be amazing. And it will give us so much comfort. On that day, whether we have died or whether we are still alive, we will be united with Jesus for eternity. There is great hope in this. When the boy sat up, the people cried out in fear. A great prophet has arisen up among us. God has visited his people. They glorified God. They sang out songs of glory to his holy name. We do the same. Fear, a reverence, a respect for the author of life, the one who has conquered death. Through Jesus' resurrection, he has swallowed up death. Yes, God has surely visited his people. For Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Tell the story. Let others know that they don't have to be stuck in eternal sorrow, but rather they can have the joy of Jesus too. They can have the joy that even though Jesus might not raise their loved one right on the spot, there will be a day when he will. All those who have believed in Jesus will be with him for eternity, body and soul. So rejoice in that, dear Christian. The church sings. In the midst of death's dark veil, powers of hell o'ertake us. Who will help when they assail? Who secure will make us? Thou only, Lord, thou only. Thy heart is moved with tenderness, pities us in our distress. Holy and righteous God, holy and mighty God, holy and all-merciful Savior, eternal Lord God, save us from the terror of the fiery pit of hell. Have mercy, O Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.